Yes.
I have a potential conflict with item number two, so I need to recuse myself from the discussion and the vote.
Okay.
We'll wait until Director Callahan gets the room. Okay, good evening, Board. This matter concerns the request of the Discovery Bay Community Foundation's desire to put on a car show in Cornell Park on June 26, 2021. Staff is engaged in conversation with Jim Madison, who is the founder and president of that community foundation. And staff has come up with some preliminary conditions of approval that we put forward to Mr. Madison, that he's agreed to those. But this matter is brought before you because this is an unusual event where he actually wants to have the cars and the participants on the Cornell Park grounds. This is why it's before the board and why we ask for the board to consider approval of this and whether they want to add or modify or change any of the conditions. One of the first conditions that we asked Mr. Madison to do was to contact the neighbors that surround Cornell Park, because we're going to have a lot of cars involved. They're going to be coming in the streets, and there'll be a certain amount of noise. There'll be some amplified music. And so we want to look at mitigating those impacts, as well as notifying the neighbors that this matter is being considered before the board for approval, and offer this venue so the neighbors have a voice to express their opinions on this. I will say that this was done to staff's satisfaction, and 51 neighbors have actually received the flyer. And staff has actually been forward three emails where they actually support the event taking place in Cornell Park. So that's been completed, and I would imagine there may be some residents that either want to support or have concerns about the event. And if necessary, we have Jim Madison on the line that can hear and respond to any mitigation measures. So some of the more important conditions of approval was that the event needed to be closed by 3 p.m., no amplified sound after 3 p.m., that the park had to be cleaned by the sponsor of the event, that there be staggered arrival times for the cars. This is to prevent the impacts of cars lining up down the streets of Discovery Bay Boulevard, blocking driveways, et cetera, as they're trying to queue into the event. So we've talked about queuing methodology to ensure and have that the vehicles are not on the street to the extent possible. So that staggered time, and then also checking them in inside the park arena so the queue lines can be extended. We put porta potties, hand washing stations so that people have that available to them, as well as a handicapped parking area for event attendees, which will be located in a different location on the park from the actual participants in the car show. So we won't have the need for parking along the streets in front of people's homes. We talked about where the vehicles could be situated in the park, not on our infield, no setups on our infield, that we need to protect that baseball infield. We talked about food that would be there. Everything is subject also to COVID restrictions by our health officer, county health officer, in existence at the time of the event. So whatever those are, they must comply with those restrictions. We talked about, and part of the conditions of approval are, if they are going to sell alcohol, that they have the ABC license in place and presented to us, that they have $1 million worth of insurance, naming the town as an additional insured, that there's first aid kits and fire extinguishers on scene, and that food, alcohol, etc. must have the health permits necessary. And we felt that there were some charges that are applicable to this event. Now, currently, right now, since they're taking up almost all of Cornell Park, those fees come to $165. And that's the normal rental fee going off our normal rental fee schedule. We don't have a special event, large event fee at this particular time, but that is something to look at in the future. So we're looking at $165 in rental fees, but we also are charging the foundation for 2 hours of labor to remove the soccer nets on the park and to lay out cones and hazard areas that we don't want vehicles running over. So we're going to send laborers out to do that, and then also post-event, and so that's $163.52 at our labor rate. Also, cleanup of the event, they're going to have various garbage cans, etc., but they're going to use our dumpster, so we're going to ask for an upfront dumpster fee of $400. That's what it costs us if they make a special dumpster run. I have on there refundable to actual cost, because it's not necessary to make a extra dumpster run, and it's just a normal dumpster run for us that we would be paying for anyway. We weren't going to charge for what we would pay anyway. And then we've also asked for a refundable damage deposit of $1,500. This we will retain until we inspect the park and walk the park to ensure that there are some damage monies available to pay for any inadvertent damage. And that's pretty much covers most of the conditions of approval. I will say that we've worked with Jim Addison on this, and he's been very receptive and very cooperative in meeting the staff's conditions. And now that concludes my report. We leave it to questions by the board.
I just have one question. I appreciate the foundation has taken the time to contact neighbors. That's obviously very important. Do we feel that the town has any responsibility not only to also contact those neighbors, but you know, send out something general to the town just in case somebody was planning on being there that day to have, you know, child's third birthday party or whatever, to do a larger announcement?
Are you talking about or beyond the original neighbors?
Yes.
The announcement is through the agenda, and we do mass emailings of the agendas, and this matter is on there for approval. So that's our notice to the town, and their input, they'll be able to do public comment to this. And no, the town is not hand-delivered or mailed out.
No, no, no. I'm just saying, you know, just have something either on our website or just so you know they're going to be using the park that day and won't be available.
Well, there's going to be mass. So we usually do this through the vendor. And so what's going to happen is there's going to be notice, there's going to be advertisements, there's going to be you know, outreach to the general community because they want people to attend this.
Yeah, of course. All right. So we're all comfortable with that. This is the first time I've been involved in being listening to hearing about these events. So.
Right. Yes.
Do we know approximately how many cars are wanting or expecting?
You can ask that question of Jim Madison, and he can pipe in if I'm wrong on this.
We're
looking at about 200 cars.
Between 200 and 250.
Okay, thank you.
I'm just curious, why did this come to the Park and Rec Committee first?
It didn't come to the Park and Rec Committee first because we didn't have a Park and Rec Committee meeting. And this is actually, normally we ask for a minimum of 60 days notice, which would have allowed for a Park and Rec Committee meeting first. But the timing of this kind of popped up within the last actual couple of weeks. And so there was no intermediary Park and Rec meeting. And we wanted to get this
unmuted.
We wanted to get this to the board for approval because he has to advertise and
sure.
Send stuff out.
Anyway, I'm not trying to derail this agenda item, but this is just another example where I think we need to have monthly Park and Recs committees because there's so many things are going on that maybe we need to add that as a future agenda because I think we have to do a bylaw change if we want to add additional meetings.
Well, we could talk about that. That would have to be through the board as well if they want to add additional
That's
meetings.
A very good idea. That is so much going on for that group right now.
But under normal circumstances, for example, the Community Foundation, and we will be having an after-action meeting with this, are looking at potentially having additional car show in September. That matter should be brought up early enough,
sure,
if that's the case, to reach a normal Park and Rec Committee meeting.
Well, I agree with that. I mean, I think the if the established fees are the established fees, you know, they are what they are, but we might want to revisit those because they seem
Well, we are going to be revisiting those with the Park and Rec Committee and then ultimately to the board. And the things that we're going to be revisiting are the actual rental fees have been in existence for a long time, so raising those. But then also looking at a public event type rental where it's based on the amount of the crowd that's anticipated for a special event, and then we can adopt our event fees to reflect what reasonable usage is. Point of order.
Before the board continues to discuss this item, I believe that we should go to the public for public comment.
So anyway, so what's going on is that, well, we got a point of order.
Which means?
Ask Rod or Andy.
Andy, Rod?
Yes, the point of order has been called and request that the public be, that take public comment on the item so that public comment concluded that the board would be able to continue its discussion on the matter.
No, I understand that, but procedurally, though, Director Graves called a point of order, so what is that?
I believe that was Mr. Helfrich.
Mr. Chair, if I can jump in, this is Rod Atterbury.
Yes,
so,
sir.
Nick, can you hear me?
Yes.
Thank you. So the point of order is going to stop discussion at the chair's discretion. The chair makes all decisions on points of order. And Member Graves is raising what legal would consider a correct point of order. This point in time, it's generally left for clarifying questions only. Then you'll go to public comment, and then there can be further discussion on the matter. But this is clarifying questions only.
And I thought that's what was going on right now.
That's the chair's discretion.
Well, in this case, I believe the chair would
Have a point of order before. Do you have a point of order before you? You can either overrule it and continue the discussion as you are, or you can accept it and ask that they remain only clarifying questions and seek public comment. Thanks. The chair's discretion.
Thank you.
That's the one big power you have.
Well, I won't let it go to my head. Does the board have any further clarifying questions at this point? So that at this point, that will open up to public comments. Are there any public comment, any people in the audience that wish to address this issue?
Bill Helfrich, please.
Go ahead, Bill.
I'm curious if there, I assume there is some kind of an entry fee for car, what the foundation expects to have as a positive cash flow for the minimal cost of using our property.
Yes, $40 per car.
Thanks, Bill. Is there any other public comments? Then I'll close public comments and bring it back to the board.
I have a quick question. Do we have anything that we're doing to prevent and make sure that the grass doesn't get any damage to it? I know that we're doing $1,500, but 250 cars on a grassy area with bad irrigation?
Right. So we have an irrigation plan for this event where we're going to irrigate. In fact, I will bring up our parks landscape manager to talk about that.
We also will have eight people parking cars, so it will be done in a very uniform, direct way.
Go ahead, Bill.
We will stop irrigation on the Wednesday before the Saturday event, cut the lawn on Friday to make it as short as possible.
Do you have any issues with these with the curb stop? Do you foresee any issues?
No, we went over them with the marking out the irrigation and the hazardous situations in terms of damage to the boxes. So, no, I do not.
Thank you. Well, then, if there's no other clarifying questions, I'll bring it back to the board for motion or whatever.
I do have one more question.
Okay.
So, what was just mentioned about the they were going to have people from the foundation parking their cars? We have any liability if, even though they're the foundation's people, they accidentally crash into something, will the town have any liability for that? Or will our insurance cover that? Because it's on our property.
We are requiring the event holder to provide general liability assurance of $1 million, naming the town of Discovery Bay as a certificate holder and an additional insurer endorsement with that. So we have insurance, but we are also requiring that they have insurance that names specifically names us as an additional insurer.
Okay, and that would be cars.
And our policy is actually a $2 million policy.
Excellent.
Jim, can I ask you a question? This is Director Porter. What is the $40 what does the $40 admissions fee go to?
We raised probably about well, we haven't raised any money this last year, but the money that we raised goes to well, this particular money we're thinking is going to go to the mental health of the kids. We have several programs that we're dealing with the school. I don't know if you talked to Reyes very much over there about a lot of things, but we're doing an active shooter program because there's a lot of that unfortunate going on right now, and we're putting together mental health programs with NAMI. Are you familiar with NAMI?
A little bit, yes.
National Association of Mental Illness, and we're doing that with the school district as well.
Okay, thank you.
Board? Well, I'll just chime in and say. Director Gray, is that you?
Yep, I have a few comments and concerns. First of all, I'm a big car guy, as you know, Brian, and I think this is a great idea, and I'd love to see it happen at a point in time. I'm pretty concerned that we're getting it 3 weeks before the event. And that, to me, doesn't sound like it's been well thought out or organized in advance quick enough. I mean, in order for us to be able to really understand the procedures here. Secondly, staff, my question for you is, have you been guaranteed a maximum amount of cars that are going to be at the show?
No, we have not. We can make that a condition of approval.
Okay.
How many would you like to see?
I'm sorry, I think public comment's closed.
Second, so Jim, I'm asking Kevin a question. How many cars would you like to stop at?
Jim, unfortunately, public comments is closed for right now. The board is discussing. So if I could ask you just to hold on a second. Go ahead, Kevin.
My next point of concern, and these are questions that could have been answered had we had more time to have these discussions. They could have been presented to the foundation. The foundation could get back to us with answers, but with a deadline that we've been given that is not very reasonable, it makes it very difficult. Not impossible, but difficult. Secondly, we're putting out prices for the rental of the entire park that we don't have established. We have a price established to rent the baseball field to play baseball on, or the soccer field to play soccer field on, but we don't have a fee structure that is set up for the entire park. Therefore, I'm not sure where we came up with that number, because we don't have it. So how did we come up with it? I mean, I know mathematically how we came up with it, but is that appropriate, I guess, would be my concern. Thirdly, where are the people that are attending the event going to park? Because it's a very small parking lot, and people park their cars on the streets, and so if I was coming to the event, where would I park my car if the park is full of the show cars? It's not designed, there's not, I don't know what the arrangements are for that. It hasn't been presented by the foundation to the board. Together in a comfortable with making decisions that we don't have all the answers to. And that, those are my comments.
Okay. Well, I like the idea personally. I think it's good for the community. I don't like how fast it's being given to the board. I think it should have been the 60 days at least, so we could have gone through some of these issues. But if I read, you know, your 18 items, it sounds like staff put some serious time into putting some conditions in place that make sense. I'm in favor of it. So if the board wants to move forward with it, then let's make a motion. I'll make a motion that we move forward with the car show.
I'll second it.
Roll call.
Director Graham? Vote no. Just concerns about enough notice to the public. I agree with a lot of comments that Director Graves brought up, that there's still just too many questions about, you know, the fees and other questions of liability. And I would love to find out if the foundation can schedule this at another date so we can work all this out, because I think it's a great idea. I would love to see it, but I just think it's just too fast. And I think,
is your response no then?
Yes, my response is no. Okay, you okay? You didn't tell me I had a 3-minute no.
Director Porter?
Aye.
Vice President Graves?
No. Not that it's a bad idea, but it's just the timing is happening too quickly for us to make all the arrangements that need to be made and have all the concerns addressed.
President,
for this time, at this date, my answer is no.
President Gattel?
My answer is yes. What happens when we have a 2-2?
The motion is then the vote does not carry. It's not approved.
That's correct. A tie vote is
motion does not carry. Okay. This is Andy. I don't know what you need to do here. Open it back up and find out if they can look at another date or from July, or so then we can get our ducks in a row. Staff will work with them regarding another date. They'll bring it back, hopefully in time for the Park and Rec Committee to look at it first and go through the normal procedure.
Okay. Sorry, Jim. Then we're going to move forward.
Can I bring point of order, please?
Who's asking for a point of order?
Bill Hoffrick from the public comment, Phoenix Gallery.
Go ahead, Bill.
My understanding that a tie vote is a no vote, and that the only way this could be brought back is that somebody who voted no has to agree to bring it back and say they're going to vote yes. So just to sit here and say you can bring it back anytime you want, I believe is incorrect. You should check with legal counsel.
Okay, thank you, Bill. Appreciate it. Although I believe
Mr.
the no
Chair,
vote was... Yes.
This is Ron Atterbury. Ron Atterbury, if you want to hear from me.
Go ahead, Rod.
You could take an alternative motion at this point in time. The item's still up for discussion. That motion died, so there could be another motion that was made directing staff to do X, Y, and Z.
Which would be a great idea.
For example, limiting the number of cars.
Or you could take a motion to not allow the car show.
Well, Counselor, though, but
I think most of this is going to go to 2-2 tie, so I don't know that we're going to get there. So, but just
maybe not. But
making sure I address the member Helfrich's point of order.
Counsel, so if a new date is presented, then that's a new agenda item, correct?
That is correct.
Counsel, I have a question. So we could potentially bring up another vote and say, or another action item, for example, and say, like to take an action item that we would approve this date on limited number of cars, ensure we have the correct liability insurance. If those items are met, it's approved. Correct?
That is a different item. The item before you is to hold a car show on a particular day, particular time, with the mitigation measures that have been presented. So any additional, any new date, any new time, any new mitigation measures would be a new item brought back to the board for consideration.
Thank you for the clarification.
Okay, well, that sounds like G2 is closed at this point. We'll move on to item G3.
We'll bring up our wastewater engineer, Greg Lear.
Gregory Harris, Kerwin Engineering, not Kerwin Wade Engineer, District Engineer. Tonight's agenda is we have a resolution before you to the board to adopt the environmental monitoring and mitigation plan for the diffuser project. So we've talked to you before about the diffuser project. The town has been working diligently with Avizion to design a new diffuser and perform the CEQA analysis necessary for that. Part of that CEQA analysis, are you looking for the plan?
No.
Okay. Part of the CEQA analysis includes the development of environmental monitoring and mitigation plan. Avizion has prepared that plan for this project. They've circulated it to Army Corps of Engineers and the other permitting agencies to get agreement on the plan. And the plan is now ready for adoption by resolution to the board. When the board adopts that resolution, it essentially means that all the town's actions and anyone the town hire has to follow the plan. And that plan is designed to mitigate environmental impacts to the construction. Since it is near a sensitive water body, there are items in here like no refilling diesel trucks next to the river. There's requirements about what kind of dredge they can use, and there's requirements about how they can do that dredging and monitoring that takes place during that dredging, as well as some of the typical look out for the turtles and look out for the owls kind of stuff. So with that, I'm open for any questions.
I imagine at wastewater.
It was brought up at water, wastewater, and we approved for it to come to the board in support of it.
Okay. If there's no questions, any public comments? Okay, hearing no public comments, I will close those and bring back the board for either clarifying questions or motion.
I propose that we approve the resolution
as written.
Presented as written.
A second.
Roll call, please.
I'd like to mention that we should let the record reflect that Director Callahan has returned back to the meeting as of the presentation of item G3. Director Graham?
Aye.
Director Callahan?
Aye.
Director Porter?
Aye.
Vice President Graves?
Aye.
President Gutierrez?
Aye. Motion carries. Thanks, Greg.
Thank you. Sorry. On the wrong agenda item. Where did it go?
Your thing. Okay, moving forward. G4. Oh, Prop 68 crack.
Yay.
Good evening.
Hey, Bill.
How are you doing? Before you have the staff report regarding Prop 68 per capita project selection. So we're entitled to $187,441 of grant funds, which also will require a 20% match. At the May 5th Park and Rec Committee, staff brought forth ideas for some projects. And seeing that Cornell Park is one of our oldest parks, that's where our focus was. So through the discussion, it was determined we should move forward with the following projects in ranking order. A new basketball court overlay with new hoops and benches, the replacement of the barbecue area tables, prep table, and the refurbishment of the lawn nearest the barbecue area, and then uniform benches, trash, and recycle receptacles throughout the park. If the funds necessary to complete all three of these projects are greater than our allotted available funds, we'll move forward with the projects in these ranking order. The deadline is December 31st of this year, so staff recommends to move forward with this project list in its ranking order and authorize the general manager to sign all forms associated with the application. Questions?
When you all looked at, and I know you're much more familiar with everything that we have in the parks and what people use and what they don't use, but did we go out and get any public comments, suggestions on what they would like to see at that park?
In terms of a new recreation feature?
Yeah, anything?
Not to my knowledge, no.
Did you all talk about the bocce courts at all, and is that something that we would redo, or is they not?
I think that's been on a previous CIP project list for the removal of the bocce courts.
Oh, the removal, okay.
Yeah. I think, too, from the Parks and Rec Committee, we discussed kind of looking at what needed to be done the most, what we felt would be overall for the community, the larger community with kids and stuff like that involved, and these were the things that really needed the most TLC that fit within the budget that was proposed.
Yeah, $187,000 seems like a lot, but it doesn't go very far,
yeah.
And I think the most bang for the buck is kind of that area that we're talking about.
How far, in your mind, how far do you think you can get through this list at that amount?
It's very close. Again, we have a 20% match, and some of that might include in-house labor. So I think we can fit all three of them in, is our goal.
Yeah, just to echo Director Porter, the Park and Rec Committee talked about it. We agreed with staff that those were three great items that could be addressed with the given constraints of how much money is available.
Sure. It was bang for its buck.
If we get it awarded.
Any indication on what the... what you got with the odds of getting the grant?
No, this one is these are funds that are allocated.
Done. Okay, sorry.
We just have to come up with a project that's not maintenance related, but new recreation features.
Okay, and does that qualify for new recreation features when you are?
It does, speaking with the grant.
Okay, perfect.
Do we have any public comments? Hearing none, I will close public comments and bring it back to the board for clarification.
Hello?
Hello? Do we have a public comment? Is somebody there? Go ahead, Director.
I believe Mr. Helfrich was trying to make a comment, but I'm not certain if his phone's on mute or not. He is on the line, but public comment's closed. We can bring it back to him.
I believe I'm off of mute at this point.
Hello?
Okay.
I'm off of mute?
Go ahead, Bill.
Hello?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yes. Is the 20% matching funds, are you going to be able to draw that from the Zone 8 Hoffman settlement money? Customer?
Okay. Thank you, Bill. Just for clarification, you mentioned that 20% could be labor as well.
In-house labor.
Okay, so, perfect. Thank you.
But we think the in-house labor may not, we may not generate a full 20%. So it'll be in-house labor to the extent that we can. That's got maybe supplemented by actual funds.
Okay. Okay. That. Do we have more clarification, or?
With this motion, do we need to say 20% needs not to exceed a certain amount, or am I overthinking this? I would like to make a motion that we accept the Prop 68 for capital grant project selection.
I will second that.
We have the CHP has logged on, so if you would like for them to give a report, he is here to do so.
Yes, let's go ahead and go back and allow the CHP to give his report. CHP, are you on the line?
He's there.
Maybe yes, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. Hey, am I ready to go?
The floor is yours.
Excellent. Hey, hello everyone. Officer Thomas of California High Patrol, Contra Costa. Been out for a while. I'm back. Was out doing some activity today. The stats I have for last month, they didn't get those to me, but I can tell you what we did for yesterday and today. Out there predominantly working Discovery Bay Boulevard, Newport, and Clipper a lot. Today issued and yesterday issued a total of 27 citations, predominantly speed. All were speed except for two. One was a seatbelt, one was for registration. Out there on Clipper, the one highest I got today was 66 miles an hour and a 25. And he was detained for a little bit. That's what we did out there today. We just started doing the collaborative enforcement with East County Motors, which consists of Oakley, Brentwood, Antioch, and Pittsburgh, and Contra Costa Sheriff. So getting that on the roll today. That was going as well today, but predominantly that was in the Antioch and Brentwood areas today. I think next month we're going to be doing probably East County part of it, so that'll be out. I'll try to get everyone out there in Discovery Bay Myron areas next month for that. That's what we did. If you guys have any concerns or any questions for me, I've been out for 3 months for a on-the-job injury and finally back, glad to be back. So I understand people have been saying haven't seen lots of activity, so hopefully I've been kind of pushing some people at the office to start stepping up their game and everything like that. So sorry for the background noise here. Somebody can't turn the radio down. But you guys have any questions or concerns for me?
I saw you this afternoon. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you. I appreciate that. A lot of people saw that. They would wave and honk and say hello, but then there were some people that probably wasn't happy with honking to them today. But, you know, so goes the game, I guess. But additionally, you know, predominantly what I was doing today, 90% of the people out of all those citations, I believe two of them issued were not Discovery Bay residents from yesterday to today's citation issues. So, yeah, there we go.
Well, first of all, welcome back, and we're glad to hear that your health is recovered, especially with an on-the-job injury. I saw you guys over the weekend as well. I saw three of you guys on Clipper and Discovery Bay Boulevard and Highway 4. So, all within a 5-minute time frame.
Yeah. So hopefully we can keep that up and everything like that. So that helps deter a lot of the unwanted activity. A lot of things too that have been increased, and I just popped in my mind, is sideshow activity. We had last weekend, this weekend, past weekend, a lot of sideshow activity, predominantly in Pittsburgh, Antioch, Brentwood areas. and been trying to saturate with enforcement, which is kind of overtime detail, have been somewhat successful. And what we're trying to do is basically get them out of East County. They want to go play their games in Oakland, sideshow places, more power to them. We don't want them out here. So if you guys see any of that sideshow activity going on, call that in. We can kind of take note of it. If there happens to be a unit out there, either with us or the SO, we can get out there and maybe do something. So that would be great. But glad to be back.
Well, thank you for your calling in and for the updates.
Thank you.
Okay, guys. I'll hopefully see you out there. I'll talk to you guys next month. If you have anything, feel free to hit me up in the email. Mike has my email. Feel free to hit me up and give me the information, and I can work on it.
Well, if you see us, just wave.
Well, definitely. Definitely.
Thank you.
So, sounds good. All right, guys. All right. Take care.
Good night. Okay, we'll return to business and action items, G5, proposed draft budget.
Members of the board, on May 20th, 2021, at the annual budget workshop, the board was presented with the proposed draft of the fiscal year 2021-2022 operating and capital budgets. A two-year forecast was presented. A two-year forecast is beneficial to management for our long-term planning. Why presented with 2 years of budget? Only the upcoming fiscal year will be adopted. The budget was reviewed in detail, questions and concerns were discussed, and input was received. Tonight, I present to you the proposed budget. The following have been included in this last pass of the budget. We removed $25,000 in consulting fees for a workforce study. We added $15,000 in additional funds for the GM search. And we included $10,000 for Standard & Poor's credit rating that had come to my attention during the meeting and now. The denitrification budget, that was it for the operating and expense budget. The denitrification budget was recalculated to include the construction bid of almost $16 million. The total for the new denitrification budget is $20 million. In FY 2021, we've spent $1 million, leaving $19 million to be spent between the next two fiscal years. I also have updated the actuals for 2020-2021 through the end of April, reflected in your budget. And as of right now, there are two open items with very small financial impacts, if any. They are the final Zone 9 assessment, which will be forthcoming next week, and the property and liability insurance invoice that I expect to receive in the next few days. The next step in the budgeting process is the public hearing on June 16th. At the conclusion of the public hearing, the board will vote to adopt the budget. Are there any questions? As always, if you are reviewing the budget at a later time and have any questions, feel free to call me, email me. And we do not require any action.
I'm going to open up to public comments anyways. Is there any public comments regarding this item?
Yes, I do. Bill Helfrich.
Hey, Bill, go ahead.
On page 47 of the capital project listing continued, line project number 8002 says move district office building to new site due to Willow Lake storage tank. You have $400,000 scheduled for this year and $2.6 million scheduled in the next fiscal year. This is that $3 million that I complained about 2 years ago when Robert Leake said, oh, don't worry about it. It's only 10% more than the budget was at $30 million. I think this is you're just trying to slip something under the door, under the radar, and there is no need to be building some kind of an 8,000 to 10,000 square foot office building when I think other alternatives should be looked at, like rentals, something else. But I think you're just ripping off our ratepayers to throw $3 million at a new office. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other public comments? Okay, hearing none, I will close public comments.
Thank you.
Thank you, Julie. Do we have any manager's reports?
Yes. Good evening. Here, Mike and I are here to give you an update on what we know today. These are very preliminary timelines. We are still on Adam's pool schedule for June 14th for tile and coping if materials are received. They still don't have everything in. I found that out as of this morning. The backfilling dirt for the decking and for where the shed needs to go in, that trade is booked out until the end of June. Then the rest, we did our very best to put together a very preliminary timeline based on those things needing to be done. So we're hoping July 12th would be start of shed foundation. August 2nd to 26th would be installing the shed and the pool equipment. August 30th, plaster. September 9th would be a pool startup, chemical balancing. Once you do that plaster, it sheds. So it takes some time to get all of that cleaned and vacuumed out, and then possible open for mid to late September.
So I just wanted to add to the presentation that I actually called Tony Adams, who is the president of Adams Pools. We expected the pool to be done by the end of May, and I asked him if he could just enlighten me on why this is such an extended delay for the pool. And his comment was, you know, worldwide this pandemic has caused construction projects and certainly public works projects such as this, delays for a variety of reasons. There's been an unexpected diminishment in workforce where you can't hire necessary people. You've got supply chain interruptions. You have manufacturing shortages. You have a lack of construction materials. You have plan check and permitting delays. These are all just domino effects that are taking place. And certainly we had permitting delays with just getting the tough shed going, where it went on for weeks and we pushed every button we could possibly push. And we got it ahead of some others, but it took on all this time. So we're hoping that this schedule that was just presented to you is going to work. What our plan is to post this new schedule, explain the delay to the public in a posted document that we'll put on the website, and we'll put it on Facebook, and we'll post the pool that anybody who walks by it, you know, please refer to the website, because we'll try to keep you updated on what we believe is the current schedule and any changes that occur as they occur.
So at this juncture, I imagine we've discontinued our search for lifeguards.
Well, there's nothing to guard at this particular point in time. And I have to say, we have done a full court press trying to, so we experienced the workforce shortage as well. We've done the full court press for lifeguards, and the fact of the matter is they never had the opportunity to train at a pool, and there's a very limited window between opportunities to train for the lifeguard and the actual opening of pools. And what happened is those that were ready snapped it. And so, but we're going to start early next year, and that's our plan.
Do we have any other kind of contingency plans from Adams Pool to kind of keep us updated as we go, so we can also stay on top of that communication with the community? Because I know we're doing the other stuff, but I feel like it should, you know.
There's two things going on, and Monica's been great, and Mike Uraka, our projects manager, have been working very diligently with them, trying to problem solve, to expedite things probably almost a weekly basis as I'm getting. And so we are, but there's actually two things going on. So you have Adam's pool, and then you actually have the people with the pool equipment and the foundation and the tough shed area, which is not Adam's pool, but you have to work in conjunction and synchronization with the right timing and getting that stuff done. So we'll get something updated on the website tomorrow and on Facebook. We'll also do an email mass sending. And that's our update. Is there any questions?
I don't have any questions. I just want to make the comment that, I'm very disappointed with Adam's Pools that they weren't more forthcoming, letting us know there was going to be delays. And then, some things, the permit, it's just going to happen. But I think knowing this, as to what you just said, actually, we really need to keep constant communication with them just to make sure we stay on track, and then if not, so we can notify everyone. Now, will you be notifying anyone that asked about teaching classes or planning anything for the pool, or whether there's a delay? Or
I've only had one person that's been interested in teaching water aerobics, but every time we communicate, I just let her know. We've been communicating through email that as soon as I know something, and I have a date, we'll definitely jump on that, but as you can hear by the timeline, that just doesn't happen.
Yeah. Well, we need to let people know in case that one person was thinking they were going to be working during summer teaching classes. And I'm probably doing the wrong terminology here, but as far as the costs involved with the pool, do we have, is it cost overrun? Is that the right term as far as... is it an absolute price, or if you start saying, the plaster's going to be more, and this is going to be more, and that's going to be more, are we going to be charged for that?
We've not been given any information in that regard whatsoever, and then that would be a legal issue.
Excellent. Thank you.
Can you talk about once the pool's open, since we are not going to have lifeguards, are we still going to be able to do any type of open swim or anything like that so the community can enjoy it for as long as they...
Yeah, so something we tossed around is when we get to that point and everything is done, of course, weather permitting, I think it'd be fantastic if we opened it for adult lap swimming. Now, what that means is you do have to be 18 and older and sign a waiver because there is no lifeguard on duty and we cannot charge for that. And we do check ID. We've done that in the past. So that's something we can do, and that can happen as long as the weather allows us to do it. We don't have to have a set closing time. So if that's something that we want to do, I think that would be a really great idea.
Thank you.
Well, it is what it is, unfortunately, and I personally don't blame Adam necessarily because I know everything globally is going on. It's...
I still agree with Brian, though. I think that just in general, probably one day they had it, and the next day it was gone. And I think that's hard to stay on top of.
And it's important to know that staff works with Adams texting. Sometimes we're texting before 6 o'clock in the morning, at 6 o'clock at night. We've been working with them very, very closely.
And I just want to add, Adams has been very responsive, and I think they're as frustrated as we are. They have multiple projects where this has been difficult for them, and we only see the one project, which is important to us, but I know all those projects are good and are important to others as well. And as long as we feel we have a good relationship with them, we'll continue to communicate and work with them and try to expedite things to our advantage the best we can. And that's what staff's been doing.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Before we move off of manager's report, can I ask Bill to come up and just maybe give us an update on the boulevard and the corners there? Because they're looking gorgeous.
Yeah,
so
they look awesome.
We'll probably have the second corner and seal away done Friday, and then we'll move on to Sandpoint and seal away with the rest of the walls. And then I'll be
It looks really good.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. So that will finish up the Boulevard project.
There's one more section where Rec 800
is finishing. Right.
I think they're finishing this week, so we'll be able to get that too.
And then moving forward towards the islands, have we even put any thought to that yet, or is that still kind of?
Yeah, so I think we've got that on for the July Park and Rec.
Perfect.
We'll have some kind of plan ready. Awesome.
And last, before you go, I've had some questions about the splash pad.
Yeah.
Is that?
Yes, we had some, I just received some spare parts. So we'll be out there in probably early next week, getting it ready for June 15th-ish.
And by the way, the play structure looks amazing. I drove by there today, and I saw 25, 30 people out there, lots of mommies and kids, and it looked like you're having a blast. So.
Right.
So, thank you very much for that.
Sure.
Do we have a general manager report?
No.
Okay. we have a couple of directors' reports. Internal ops, I guess, met today?
Yes, we did. We met today, and we talked about the boot grants. There will be some boot reimbursement. Clarification and modifications to policy that will be coming up to board in a future meeting. Main gist of it being that they've updated it, broken it down by department, done some a lot of research to give more options and more safety for the boots. Exciting stuff. And then we have the placard that we have discussed again, and that will be coming up by on a future as well. Mike provided us some more really great samples. There's one that I think is going to work out excellent. So that'll be coming soon. And hopefully we can use standardized communication.
Finance Committee, we got Director Graves and myself also met earlier today. Really the only topic was the proposed budget that Julie presented earlier. So she just did a couple clarifying changes she made. And that was really the gist of our meeting.
And then water and wastewater.
Water and wastewater.
Yeah, water, wastewater met. We discussed the well 1B rehab summary. So all of the rehab has been done. There really has not been a change in the production, but it is producing what expectations are for that well. And then this was brought to the board. We discussed the environmental mitigation monitoring plan and bringing that to the board for approval.
Okay. Are there any other reportable items? Director's training and regional meeting reports. Who talks about those?
I believe we're up to date on all the certificates, so that can constitute the written completion validation of the courses, so no need to report.
Okay. Are there any future agenda items? No. Hearing none, then I'm going to turn it over to council to bring the board into closed session.
Thank you, Chair. So at this time, the Town of Discovery Bay will adjourn to closed session to address the item listed on the agenda as 01, 02, and 03. At this time, we're not anticipating any reportable action. However, there are other items on the agenda to be heard. The board will be adjourning to a confidential line, so if you would stay on this line to hear the remainder of the meeting, the board would appreciate that. Thank you very much.